Blog Talk Radio.
Black Hole Radio presents Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness
B-A-4-C-P.
With your hosts, Rudolph Muhammad,
the Deacon of Destruction,
and Yusuf Muhammad.
The past of disaster, past of disaster.
People get ready, there's a train a coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the divas calling. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. So people get ready for the train to Jordan. Coast to coast, faith is the key. Open the doors and board them. There's hope for all among the lost.
Blessings, peace and blessings. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition, weekly edition of Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. As the gospel singer Hezekiah Walker would sing, we need you to survive. We're here on the seventh day of the 10th month of the year 2022. We say happy birth anniversary to the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Beginning all things in the name of the all-wise, true, and living God, the beneficent, the merciful, the compassionate. We thank him for intervening in the affairs of men in the person of Master W. Fahd Muhammad, that he would find one and raise one in the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the eternal leader of the Nation of Islam. And certainly and most indeed, we could never thank the two of them enough. That double portion of the Spirit for leaving with us their divine reminder. He is the criterion in human form, the exponent of excellence in the person of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. As a co-host here on Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness, Brother Yusuf Muhammad is my name. I am honored, and it gives me great pleasure to greet you with the greeting words of peace and paradise. We say it in the language of our ancestors. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Thank you, Brother Rudolph. It simply means to our listening audience in English, peace be unto you. And the return greeting was unto you be peace, which we are also taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that when you greet one on that level, and the greeting is returned, you're actually offering a prayer to those that you greet with that particular greeting. So we greet you in peace, and it is our prayer that you and your family are at peace, realizing that, you know, none of us are without trial, none of us are without struggle. But, you know, as the minister has taught us, if you can actually go somewhere and not encounter struggle, then when you get back from where you were, please let us know where you were, because all of us are going through some level of struggle, some level of trials and tribulations. So what better way to greet one another than to greet each one with the spirit of peace and paradise? So again, we welcome you. Welcome, welcome, welcome to our first-time listeners and to our consistent and constant participants. We thank all of you for the honor of your ear and the privilege of your presence. We want to thank Black Hole Radio, LLC, for giving us this opportunity to broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And for those who may have contacted us by phone, you can call your network, your database, and let them know. They can log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/Black Hole Radio, hole spelled W-H-O-L-E, and go to DACP, Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. Or if you're online and you want to let your people know that they can also call in at 563-999-3089. Again, that's 563-999-3089. Again, we welcome you, and for those who have been on this program before, many of you are subject matter experts in your own right. But those of you who just want to learn from the beginning, we want you to become your own CERT team, C-E-R-T, Community
Yes, sir.
Emergency Response Team, because you can call 911, but it's no guarantee what their response time is going to be, because of the level of disaster that we all might be experiencing simultaneously, including the first responders and the emergency managers. Again, here on Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness, we talk about everything from viruses to vaccines, from fire safety education to health and fitness. It's about investment, community involvement, community partnership for community risk reduction. So I just wanted to welcome you in the way that Almighty God has blessed me to share what he's given me to give with you, as I segue to my more than capable, my dear brother, who has sacrificed his life that we might be here learning a little bit more today than we knew yesterday, as it relates to disaster awareness for community preparedness. Let us welcome our co-host, Brother Rudolph T. Muhammad. Brother Rudolph, the floor is yours, sir.
Thank you, sir. Beginning all things in the name of God, that one who is responsible for your existence, the grand architect of the universe, the all in all, the Alpha and the Omega, he's called. He's called the all-seeing, all-knowing, omnipotent one. Whatever your faith practice, whatever your belief system, whatever your culture, we can agree that we all were birthed into an existence that was here before we got here. And so to that individual, that one who is responsible for getting this world started for us to come into, that's who we're talking about. Many different thoughts, many different teachings, many different understandings of God and who or what is and means, but those of us who believe in the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we believe in the true and living God and call him Allah. And so no disrespect to anyone else, but again, This is what we believe. And so again, beginning in the name of the Almighty, true and living God, we thank him for appearing in the person of Master Farid Muhammad. We thank him for raising the most honorable Elijah Muhammad and teaching him. And we thank both of them for teaching, backing, empowering, and assisting the one that's in our midst in this dispensation of time. We call him the heavyweight champion of the world where truth, justice, and equality is concerned. We call him the grandfather of compassion for the oppressed man, black, brown, red, yellow, and the poor whites of this nation who have the foot of an oppressor on their neck at all times. But this man speaks for all of them, regardless to what you may have heard, none other than our brother, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So in those three great names, we greet all of you who are about to come on this line, who are going to listen to this broadcast at any time. We greet you if you are the family of Muhammad. We greet you if you are a well-wisher or supporter of Muhammad and his program. We greet you if you are a naysayer, because if you are a naysayer and you are honest about trying to understand and learn, we can give you the actual facts that can help you to become a believer in the truth with no comics, as we say. So, again, welcome to this week's edition of Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness, where we explore, we entertain ideas, where we discuss topics and ideas, and we explore facts and actual facts of things that are going on as we speak and how they relate to you and I and how they affect you and I, and will affect us down the wheel of time. This day, Friday, October, what's today, the 7th, right?
Yes, sir.
Today is October 7th. Man, you know, I'm speaking very slowly right now because my mind is racing right now. It's racing. And I want to choose my words very carefully, understanding the time and what must be done.
Mm-hmm.
And again, not meaning to be offensive to anyone who may be on the broadcast, but also not willing to deny the truth, and not willing to crucify him of flesh, as they say, because others don't believe. So, what we are going to do, if it be the will of God, in these next almost 2 hours, will be to inform, enlighten, and inspire you to become students of disaster. We're going to urge, coerce, and challenge you to watch the weather. And when you do that, then we're going to let your mind take over and take you where it may. We just want to lay the tracks for the train as it comes through so that the train can keep on moving. And these tracks should be taking you to a better understanding of the time and what must be done for your and my survival as we look at a world that is unraveling right before our eyes. And as it unravels, it manifests many different things. Some of these things will cause some people to just spin out of control mentally. And so we are seeing a rise in the mental health area of the world where it seems like every day someone is, as they say, Brother Yusuf, losing their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching, because I work in an emergency room in the psych department, and I'm watching the people that are coming in to the emergency room with, quote, unquote, four psychiatric consultations because they feel that they're losing a grip on what they reality. And there's so many young people now.
That's right.
Coming into the emergency rooms that it's almost more young people coming in than older people. And it's causing those of us that work in these facilities to constantly challenge the policies of the facilities we work at, where drugs are concerned, where treatment for those who are having mental health issues, and the language that is being used, because a lot of people won't come into the facility and seek the treatment that they need or the help they need because of the stigma that's placed on mental health and how it can affect their job, their livelihood, and their day-to-day interactions with others. So, again, Brother Yusuf, I'm going to turn it back over to you after I say this. If it be the will of God today on this show, we will have a brother calling in to speak to us about insurance today in a very real way. Now, the hurricanes have torn up Florida once again, but we see this every year. It's still hurricane season, and there are still some more hurricanes to come. And so there will be more tropical storms. There'll be more tropical depressions. There'll be more hurricanes, tornadoes, and other weather-related emergencies. There'll be man-made emergencies, natural disasters, and technological situations that will manifest themselves that will test your and my resolve to be here. And it will show us and it will exploit the weaknesses in our own plans. And if we are allowed to remain alive after the situation, it will either be a disaster for us, meaning that the circumstance overwhelms our resources and our ability to deal with it, or it will be a situation that has arisen that we can deal with because in that respect, we have been properly prepared and have prepared ourselves. And so we pass. One of the two will be true as we go along. Time will be the factor that will bring about the reality. So, Brother Yusuf, I'll turn it back over to you, and I guess you have a FEMA bulletin ready for us this week, or some news from that arena that can better assist the listeners in understanding what, or as Marvin Gaye said, what's going on. Brother Yusuf.
Yes, sir, Brother Rudolph. Well, brother, you said so much that, had my mind thinking what I could share with our listening audience. And the first thing I would share is this, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, that disaster awareness for community preparedness is like education and spirituality itself. And what do I mean by that? It's degree by degree. And we're talking about the solution. It's easy for me and Brother Rudolph to say, consider the six P's that the military talks about: proper, prior, planning, preventing, poor performance. It's easy for us to say that. It's more than a cliche to us. You know, it's been tried, it's been tested, and found to be true as it relates to disaster awareness for community preparedness. However, the reason we start with giving honor to the Most High God is because we realize that the next catastrophe, calamity, or disaster that comes our way, we might not have prepared for. We might not have read in the Book of Remedies this next one that comes our way. In other words, Brother Rudolph oftentimes uses this analogy, and we thank our dear brother, Brother Student Minister Abdul Hafiz Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him. But he always used to ask those who attended the mosque afterwards, whether it was a believers meeting or just people in general, he would ask, well, do you have any food in your refrigerator? Because
yes,
the reality is, if you do not have any food in your refrigerator or your pantry or your cupboard, that's a disaster.
That's
right. A calamity, right, on different levels. So he might ask this question: do you have a toothache? Well, if you don't have dental insurance, you don't have the remedy by which to stop your tooth and your mouth from aching, that's disaster on another level.
That's right.
So it's degree by degree, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. Don't get it twisted. Again, we're all going through something. So what's in the news? I can give you the FEMA report, but why do we touch base and tap in to the creator of our existence that we might know our purpose and our function on this planet as it relates to our objective, disaster awareness for community preparedness? Now, you might or might not consider this a disaster, but check this out. President of the United States, Joseph Biden, announced yesterday all pardons for federal offenses for the simple possession of marijuana. There are thousands of people convicted of marijuana possession who may be denied employment, housing, or educational opportunities as a result of that conviction. As if we didn't know that. How many of us in our family have people doing time for a nickel bag or less?
Right. Yes, sir.
President Biden went on to say, and they're legalizing it at this time for a reason, brothers and sisters, but we want you to think about it. My pardon, President Biden went on to say, will remove this burden on them. He emphasized, see, federal offenses. But then he went on to say he called on all governors to do the same. For most of these type of convictions occur on a state level. As if we didn't know it. Well, brothers and sisters, again, looking deeper into why he's doing what he's doing, we call it situational awareness. You got to know what to do,
right,
when to do, where to do, how to do, and why is this a particular time, as Brother Rudolph says, so you know the time and what must be done. And this is in addition to whether or not you got food in your refrigerator, or you have a toothache. Or you ever get your pinky finger or your pinky toe slammed on?
Ooh.
That's disaster on another level. That's like, okay, that's dealing for self ASAP. That's like, you can't call nobody for that. You're going to call for help, but whether or not they come, you got to know what to do with that thing. You got to first call on to God. What's going on? Even if you don't believe in God, if you ever been on an airplane and turbulence starts happening, who you calling on?
Yes, sir.
They already tell you. If something like that occurs, you make sure you put your own face mask on first, your breathing apparatus first, before you consider thinking about others. So, again, my point is disaster as well as disaster preparedness is degree by degree. Now, let's go back to the world stage with this war, conflict, whatever you call it, between Russia and Ukraine that's been going on quite a while now, since February, right? So it's March, April, May, June, July, August, September. We're in October, 8 months. But guess what? Putin is now threatening to detonate something in the nuclear zone in Ukraine. That's disaster on another. I know what you're saying. You're saying, like, that's on the other side of the planet. That's not going to impact me in New York or Detroit or Norfolk, Virginia, or wherever you might be in the 2,000 by 3,000 of the continental United States. But guess what? If something like that occurs over there, you know winds blow, right? You do know winds blow.
Yes, sir. That's right.
I rest my case. So the same President Biden said yesterday at another event that the threat of radiation disaster in the nuclear zone over in that region of the world, he said it's a threat of Armageddon. Wow. He used the biblical term, politician.
Right.
Armageddon. Wow. Armies gathered together for the doom, as the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us. So the point is this. They're, what do you call it? Nuclear weapons, biological weapons, tactical weapons, warfare.
Yes, sir.
That you might think is going on the other side of the planet, but the winds blow. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen. So now, let's bring it closer to home. Last week, we were talking about the forces of nature that hit Florida. So they're saying the death toll right now is 131, the second largest natural disaster like that hurricane, just short of what took place at Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans.
Right.
But the people who do the studies, the demographers, are saying that Florida was impacted that will cost $70 billion that destroyed the property of customers, businesses and whatnot, homes and whatnot, $70 billion. Now, where's that money coming from? That's disaster on another level.
Yes,
there's
sir.
2.1
right.
million customers. Their energy was restored in Florida. Still 100,000 without power in Florida. So consider something like that impacting where you live. That 8 days later, you're without power. You might be one of the 100,000 customers without power. Then let's go to Puerto Rico when the forces of nature hit them over 2 weeks ago, where 8,000 homes and businesses, as a matter of fact, the whole country lost power.
Right.
That was 2 weeks ago after the grid was destroyed. And only a few of them have power now. So it's degree by degree. I can give you a public service announcement coming out of FEMA. But what about you preparing yourself properly because we're telling you the time and what must be done. And we'll also tell you what to do if you're willing to take one step toward it. Others will come around because they're seeing you try. You know, my father used to say, the life you save may be your own.
Yes, sir.
So let's go, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen. And lastly, Brother Rudolph was 100% right about the rise. Yeah, it's a buzzword in the media now, mental health. People losing their minds. But Brother Rudolph has his boots on the ground. He can testify what he sees on a daily basis. But again, by it being the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad's birthday, I'd be less than who I am as a human being if I didn't say, you know, in the scripture, when you talk about the interpretation of scripture, when it says we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity.
Yes, sir.
No wonder we're losing our minds today, because the world we were born in, we just aren't being taught by this world that Satan controls, that it's a trick bag, brothers and sisters, when not forced, but you think it's all right to teach your children to watch cartoons where animals talk English.
Right.
Brother Rudolph said the language is important. Animals don't talk English. Let's stop teaching our children that. It's not all right for them to teach us to teach them by way of cartoons that animals speak English. They do not. We know that. And then let's go on the back end. We're talking about when our children are born, how we mold and shape them is like we're on automatic pilot right to the other end of our lifespan. When we die, this world teaches you, you go on to heaven. Well, where is that? Because nobody ever came back to tell us. It was, Brother Rudolph, you know I can't help myself, and I'm going to get off of it. But when I was in the church, in the choir, they used to sing this song, and it says, when I get to heaven, as I've been told. I got to say, told by who? When I get to heaven, as I've been told, the gates are pearly and the streets are gold.
The streets are gold.
That's the same trick bag. That's the same spookology and tricknology. It's no wonder our children have mental health issues. Because unfortunately, too many of us have taught this spookology and tricknology as we were taught it. And we don't realize that somebody came to bust it all up. Word to the wise, sufficient. As Brother Rudolph said, you don't have to believe it, but you'll never be able to tell us. We didn't tell you so. Disaster on so many levels. Brother Rudolph, I'll never forget, brother, when I had you and Brother Forrest flanking me in the ranks, and we drilling. And somewhere in the chat, the DI said, Reverend, tell no lies. There ain't no heaven in the sky. Muhammad taught us well that a white man's heaven is a black man's hell. Because we thinking you got to die to go get the pearly gates and the streets paved with gold. Stop it. That's disaster. So anyway.
Right.
Disaster's on different levels, brothers and sisters. So, okay. President Biden and FEMA, they came out with a memo today that says FEMA expands footprint in Florida communities, provides more funding for survivors. It says here that more than $90 million of federal disaster assistance has gone to Hurricane Ian survivors since the federal disaster declaration. Assistance helps them with temporary housing, essential home repairs, and other underinsured disaster-related losses so they can jumpstart their recovery. That's why we're so glad to have Brother William on today, if he comes on, inshallah, Lord willing, to talk about supplemental insurance. Because all of these things are critical, whether you're talking about the residents in Florida or wherever you are listening to today's broadcast. And there are a couple of bullet points here that FEMA's talking about. They will pay the hotel and motel costs eligible survivors from counties hit hardest by the hurricane. Hundreds of disaster survival assistance specialists are going door to door in Florida to help survivors apply assistance. Earlier this week, FEMA, which stands for Federal Emergency Management Agency, by the way, for those who may not know, and its state partners began operating 3 disaster recovery centers across the state. 2 more centers, they say, will open today. Over 700 FEMA inspectors are going in the field. Flood insurance issued policyholders may receive up to $1,000. You know, you can go to, brothers and sisters, if it be your desire, ready.com and look at the FEMA Office of External Affairs, and then you can go into the particulars yourself. We pray that it's helpful for those who may need this assistance. And let us know if you're having problems, because, again, we want to make sure that they know why you're not getting the assistance that they're putting on their communique that they're saying they're issuing out to certain residents. And you know, being in America, certain residents get certain perks, if you will, that others don't get. So let us know, brothers and sisters, after you go and, you know, look into whether or not this is helpful for you and to you. So we are at 4:37 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. And at this point, Brother Rudolph, I'll hand it back to you, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Brother Yusuf. Thank you. You brought up some excellent points. I'm going to hold my point on this because we have Brother Allah on the line, who is boots on the ground in the state of Florida, who is a disaster relief worker, who is actually out there helping with the rescue, response, and recovery in Florida. And we want to hear from him what he's seeing before I go into some of the things that you triggered in my mind as you were speaking, Brother Houston. So, Brother Allah, are you on the line?
Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me?
Walaikum salam.
Walaikum salam, sir.
Yes, sir. We hear you. We hear you. Okay. What part of Florida are you in today?
So, at the moment, I'm in Fort Myers right now. My team is getting a little bit of downtime. Normally,
okay.
We're in the Lee County area, and we're doing 911 transports, and also they've set up a field hospital. The Department of Health and Human Services has set up a DMAT field hospital in a parking lot, and we are transferring all of the 911 calls from there to the major hospitals outside, because they lost, in that county, they lost 5 hospitals, and they're all offline.
Wow.
So,
okay.
So
I
have a 10-man strike team, and we're 10 ambulance strike team, and we're just moving and grooving.
All right. Let me ask this, because we need to paint a picture, as they say, for the listeners. And thank you for the pictures, brother. I'm sending
yes,
them to
yes,
Brother Yusuf and Brother Forrest. Check your messages. I just forwarded some pictures to you that Brother Allah is sending to me. Okay. He's in Fort Myers right now, which was the hardest hit by Ian. My son, my oldest son, little Rudy, lives in Fort Myers. He took his wife and his children to Ocala, to her father's home, but he chose to ride it out at Myers. So he was a witness to certain things, and he was bringing me up to date as long as before the power went down, power grid went, telling me what he was seeing, what he was noticing, what was actually going on. And what he said was, one of the things he told me was, the day before everything hit at about 2 p.m., Fort Myers went into a state of emergency, and the city of Fort Myers was shut down completely. They stopped the bus service. Businesses were closed. So the employees could get where they needed to get. So imagine now you're in a city where no gas station is open. And again, now, Brother Yusuf, Brother Forrest, we're from New York, okay? Can you imagine? I mean, even with Superstorm Sandy, even with the blizzards of 96, and the blizzards in the 70s, there was always a bodega open somewhere. There was all you just had to dredge through the snow to get to it, but there was always a bodega open. This city, nothing was open. The malls were closed, gas stations closed, restaurants closed, everything.
Well,
so
brother,
you,
as a matter of fact, it's on curfew down here. It's curfew. You can't, unless you are an emergency responder or someone who works in a hospital, you are not going to be out in the street past, I don't know what the time is now, but it was 6 o'clock, then it went to 8 o'clock. They may have moved it to 10, but there was a curfew in force, so nothing was going to be open or moving anyway. So because they don't have any power, so you can make a left turn or a right turn on the wrong street and run into 6 feet of water, of still standing water. There are areas that are still flooding where it might be 2 feet today and 4 feet tomorrow, 6 feet. It's still actively flooding from some of the sewer systems and the pump systems that they have inside the lakes and some of the reservoirs and the drainage ditches. It's causing backflow, and what may not have been flooded yesterday may be flooded today. So the flooding is still a realistic issue, and power lines being down is still a realistic issue.
Hello. I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
Excuse me for cutting you off. My son is on the line. Little Rudy just called in. Hold on. Rudy, you on the line?
Yeah.
Okay. You're on the air live, and I'm saying this again, you're on the air live on Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. The airwaves are open. Everybody's listening. Who are the people that monitor the airwaves? The FAA? Yeah, they're listening too. So choose your words very carefully. Okay? All right. And I have to put this disclaimer out. The views and statements that you're about to hear are not necessarily the views and statements of Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. They are of Rudy himself. And I'm just putting that disclaimer out there. It's my son we're talking about. So, you know, the apple don't fall too far from the tree. All right. So now, you live in Fort Myers, correct?
Yes.
Okay, you chose to ride the storm out in Fort Myers, but you weren't by yourself. Were there other people who stayed in Fort Myers?
My whole neighborhood stayed in Fort Myers.
Okay, he said his whole neighborhood. Now, we were talking about disasters early and disasters being relative. And see, when you talk about disaster preparedness, again, to a certain segment of society, disasters are relative to everybody, is how you view them. But some people, we don't have summer homes that we can pack up and go to. Some people don't have the luxury of getting the whole family together, buying plane tickets, and going to another state and staying with relatives. Some people have to just batten down the hatches, as they say, and just ride this thing out. So his whole neighborhood, he said, rode this storm out. All right, so tell us some of the things that you witnessed, you know, and like a timeline, like the day before, the day of, a couple of hours into it. How long did the storm just sit over you guys? Because I remember you said something to me about that was the longest 7 hours or something in your life.
Yeah.
All right, so talk to the people.
And so I guess, let me see, Wednesday, Tuesday, Wednesday, yeah, Wednesday is when it actually hit. It just started off with a light rain all day long. It didn't rain as much. It wasn't pouring rain, and it was a drizzle, but the winds were definitely there all day. Me personally, I actually walked through it a little bit to get to my kids, and the wind was just, it was picking up as I was walking, so I had to hurry up and get there. But once it actually came, it was over. The rain wasn't the problem so much. Like I said, it was just a drizzle throughout. But the winds was taking everything. Everything. There were boats. Boats moved from docks onto people's houses. Trees, cars, trucks flipped over. And I mean big tractor trucks. Flipped over from the wind, power lines down, all of that. It was like I came over Fort Myers and just sat there for hours and didn't let up at all.
Wow. So now, okay, I'm gonna ask this question. I'm gonna put you on the spot. How prepared was your family to ride that out?
I guess we was pretty prepared, you know. That's a good question. We were prepared, I would say. Like, we lost power. We didn't lose water, thank God. But we lost power, you know. We have flashlights, stuff like that, food. Some other people, though, had it way worse. Like, when you lose power in certain areas down here, like Lehigh or whatever, like that go by well water. So when you lose power, you're losing water. So it really depends on where you are. That determines how you have to prepare, how intense you have to prepare or not. Like if you live in a complex, chances are structural damage to your home is going to be minimal. But if you're in a secluded house, then you really got to, you know, hunker down with the boards over the windows, sandbags, everything like that. But us personally, we were pretty good. A couple of our neighbors around us, we all good.
Cool. What was it like, all right, again, leading up to the storm, because you worked in Fort Myers too. So when did your job shut down so that y'all could make it home?
Oh, see, my job, see, I work at an essential store for hurricanes. I work at Target, so we didn't close. Walmart and everything, they actually closed at like 12 o'clock, 11 a.m., 12 p.m. My store didn't close till 6 p.m.
Wow. So the employees were still there while the hurricane was actually hitting.
No, not yet. This is when the before the hurricane. This was Tuesday.
Okay.
The day of the hurricane, Wednesday, there's nothing open. Nothing. The day of the hurricane, there was nothing open. So if you didn't get it that Tuesday, in the little hours you have, you just was going to go without it.
Okay. All right. So again, family listening, the city shut down.
Yeah.
And again, for us New Yorkers, we can't imagine that because even in New York where there's a curfew and everything shut down, you can still find a bodega somewhere open. You just have to get to it.
Yeah, there's none of that. You're not finding anything. And then the power for us, it went out. The power for us went out before 8 o'clock.
Okay.
On Wednesday night before 8 o'clock. I would say before 7 o'clock.
So now power's out. So you have no electrical power. Now, again, listen to this, family. So that means if you have an electric stove, no stove.
That's all there is. There is no gas stoves.
Oh, okay, so no stove, no cooking. Hold on. No microwaves either, so no oogles and noodles, people. No oogles and noodles.
Okay. All right. All right. So, so now, what else don't you have? He said some communities have well water. Well, how is that water going to get from the well into your house if there's no power? If you're out there trying to pump gas, get gas for your vehicle, no power, no way to get that gas out of the gas tanks underground to come through to get into your vehicle. So no fuel. So is everybody getting the picture? Are you understanding how devastating this could be now? And then depending on what the temperature is, that means no heat either now. No heat either. And we're talking about Florida now. People are they're not used to the 30 and 40 degree temperatures, okay? So, all right. So now, you said, all right, the storm is over you now, and it's going on, so y'all are hunkered down in the house. What are you hearing outside?
Everything that's flying around. You hear the wind. See, our house is older, too, so we got old wood. It really sounded like the end of the world out there. But you can hear, like, you know, foyers and all everybody's front porches just being taken up and down the block. You can literally hear everything that the wind is taking as it's going down the block, smashing into the houses.
Wow.
Roaring.
So how do you keep the younger children, how did y'all keep them occupied so that they didn't get so scared that they're hysterical?
Scared? This is real life. This is not a movie. These kids, they were not scared. I know mine wasn't. My son wanted to go outside. He's like, oh, look.
Like, wow.
Look.
All right, so... All right, so now storm is over, storm has passed, a couple of days passed. So now you go outside and you take a look around to see what you see. What do you see?
Well, it depends how many days we're talking, because the day after, if you can move, then you're good. There are a lot of places there was no movement. You can't move anywhere. There's nowhere for you to go. Certain people, like in Sanibel Island, stuck on an island, bridge collapse. No way off. Need a boat.
And you said boats were actually moved from the docks where they were and blown onto land.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. See, me, the Fort Myers, it's like you got downtown Fort Myers Beach, all of that is surrounded by docks. So when them winds hit, all of those boats is now on land. Smashing up whoever lives right on the coast, their houses are all gone. You live right there on the beach by the water, your house is gone.
Okay, so now, where you live at, your area in Fort Myers, have you guys seen relief workers coming through, knocking on doors, and advising you guys of where you can go to get resources, who you can contact to get relief applications, to get, you know, stuff like that? Have you seen that?
As far as people coming around telling?
Yeah.
No, not at all. But it's a social media world. Everyone is word to mouth. So it gets out there. You know, most people, they send out alerts. That's what our city was doing. It was send out alerts. Nonstop alerts. They'll send out alerts for when it's time to get off the streets, when it's safe to go back on the streets. As far as people walking around showing you where you need to go, yeah, that doesn't really happen.
Okay, hold on. All right, family, so I want you, all right, imagine this now. Okay, so now he's saying in his community where he was, there ain't nobody walking around knocking on doors with a clipboard saying, hi, I'm from the Red Cross, or I'm from FEMA, and do you have damage in your home, or how many people in your home? Contact this number here so that you can get this check or this card with money on it so you can go get funds. Yet we're hearing how much money is being released or supplied or sent into the area
for people so that they could get access to this money so that they could do what they need to do to relive. So are you seeing the disparity here and catching the lie? Because,
mm-hmm.
again, think about where you live at. If there was a fire in your area, have you ever seen a Red Cross truck in your community? And if you have, how many times? As opposed to seeing what's on the news, that in certain communities, every time there's a fire, a flood, a power outage or something, that Red Cross truck is there. Welcome to Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. To whom do we have the pleasure of speaking with, and how may we be of service to you?
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
Wa alaykum salam, sir.
This is Brother Seven Truth Allah. And I was just going to listen, but I'm glad that you all went in depth with what was going on down there in Florida. And I send a prayer to all my brothers and sisters down there that definitely had to endure something that they probably never experienced before. And hopefully Allah continues to bless you all with being able to overcome any difficulties away. But I wanted to ask those on the ground, there's a report that the governor is refusing National Guard help from other states, Tennessee, New Jersey, or Alabama, some of the states that their governors have called in and said, we want to send in the National Guard from our states to help. And Governor DeSantis is refusing such help. What impact does that have? And is that what is being told to the people that may not have power or services of social media or anything, do they know that that is going on?
That's a good question, Brother Seven Truth. Allah, that's a good question. Allah, are you on the line?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So
can you speak to that?
That's a multiple-pronged situation that he's speaking of. I didn't hear that report. But it's reflective of some of the things that I'm experiencing here on the ground.
Okay.
Yes, sir. So what's happening here on the ground is the governor has, we have, my organization alone has up to 300 ambulances here on the grounds in Florida. The governor's not allocating the vehicles and the equipment on the grounds to where they need to be. We're here.
Okay.
He's not utilizing everyone the way that they should be used. We have over 60 vehicles sitting in the parking lot doing absolutely nothing because they're not being distributed properly. They could be putting the help where the hurt is, but they're not being distributed properly. We have people that have been sitting in the parking lot for over a week, have not moved, just sitting, idling, parking, not driving anywhere. We have vehicles sitting in Orlando. We have people sitting in Orlando not doing anything because they're waiting for orders to go into areas to go in and do work. We have National Guardsmen who are pulling out because the governor and the cities and the towns are saying, what he's saying is it seems consistent to what's going on here in the ground. The reason why I'm still here is because I work with FEMA, and FEMA basically pushed the button on this before the governor did. I already sent out 80 ambulances to Florida prior to the governor even activating the state of emergency. We already have FEMA activated these vehicles before the governor said, I need help. I saw the press conference when he said, I need help. We already had vehicles 4 hours away from Orlando that left Georgia that morning. And even though we're here to help, we're not always come by the municipalities because they feel like, oh, you coming here to take our jobs, or we got this. We don't need your help. we could come with 100 ambulances and pull up to a scene where there's a whole community that's floating in front of us, and they'll say, we got this. Y'all just stand over there.
Mm.
This is the actual fact. I've pulled up with my strike team, and I've asked people for help. Hey, you need help? I got 10 ambulances here. What do you need help with? They'll say, we got this. Go wait over there. And then at the end, they might say, well, this lady needs to go to a shelter. Can you drop her off at the shelter? I mean, this is an ambulance. You can give her a police car ride over to the shelter. We can utilize these 10 ambulances for something else. But that's been the case over and over again with us. I'm in Fort Myers now. We have 60-something ambulances. We're actually running the 911 in Fort Myers. But like I said, if the help ain't getting where the hurt is, it's not because of the help is not there.
Mm.
Okay. In your community where you live at, what's the situation? Is there looting going on? Is there civil unrest? Is there a need for police presence or National Guard or something like that? Are there people who need ambulances and stuff to get to hospitals? What?
Oh, go ahead, brother.
Well, I live in the hood, so yes. Yes, there is looting, of course. There's always looting the first day after. There's attempt looting.
Hold on, Rudy. Welcome to Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. To whom do we have the pleasure of speaking with, and how may we be of service to you?
Man, it's Brother Ghazi. Y'all already been of service to me, big brother.
Brother Ghazi, hold on. We just finished getting this report from Florida, and then we coming right to you. Can you hold on for a minute?
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you. All right, go ahead, Ruby.
Yeah, you know, there's always the looting right after. There was some gas stations, Family Dollar Generals that got looted. But as far as that goes, they have us on a fake curfew right now. So it's a 9 o'clock curfew, which doesn't make sense because, like, there's a couple of bars and stuff that's open now. They're open till 12, I guess. Stuff like that.
All right, so what happens if you get caught after curfew? What do they do?
Nothing. They just tell you to go home.
Okay. All right. But you too?
The thing about it is
everyone doesn't have
power yet.
Brother Yusuf, do you have questions for any of them?
No, I think your questions were right on, Brother Rudolph. I'm just so happy to hear Brother Rudy's voice, brother, and pray that your family is doing well, all things considered. I want to thank you, brother, for giving us the update of the landscape as you were answering, you know, your father's questions. And you know what we heard, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, there is, in certain neighborhoods, looting going on, and even though there's a curfew, there may be some civil unrest. These are the things that you have to expect post-disaster where you live, not to mention the governmental bureaucracy that we heard from Brother Allah, what he's dealing with, you know, where he's stationed and the ambulances. So I thank Brother Seven Truth Allah for calling and raising that question, because it gives us, as you said, Brother Rudolph, a beautiful picture, a comprehensive picture of what is going on in real time, you know, real talk and in real time a week later. And so, again, Brother Rudy, thank you, Brother Allah, thank you, both Brother Allahs. And as I listened to Brother Rudy, you know, the first thing that came to my mind, big brother, was that when disaster strikes, and your father and I oftentimes bring this up, you know, there's a psychological impact on both the victims, the first responders, and the emergency managers. You know, each one are different in one sense, but in another sense, all three kind of overlap each other because you're concerned about the safety of not only yourself, but more importantly, you're thinking about your family at the same time. So I'm glad, you know, you didn't lose the power that others lost. I'm glad you had some preparation. And this is all we try to convey here on Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. So thanks to all who called in relative to Live and in Living Color there from Fort Myers. And one other thing, Brother Allah, who's doing the first responding there, what came to my mind too, and they just ran a report on the Weather Channel about how many hospitals become vulnerable after a disaster like that, where they also get flooded. They also, even though they might have auxiliary generators, may lose power at times. So these are just the things that we need to consider, brothers and sisters. I thank all three brothers for calling in and bringing us up to date. And I thank our dear brother Ghazi, who will be joining us in this second hour of Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness, to give us an update of the landscape of what's going on there with the Ready Expo. So thank you, Brother Rudolph, for those great questions, because you brought out a lot. You brought out a lot from the brothers who called in and had questions and, more importantly, gave us answers of where they are. So thank you, Brother Rudolph.
Yes, sir. Brother Rudy, any last words, because I know you need to get back to work. Any advice you can give to people, again, as one who rode this storm out, any advice you can give to people as to where preparedness, being prepared, is concerned, and this whole disaster preparedness thing that you know, we talk about on a regular basis, any advice you have for them, first of all? Rudy?
Yeah. So this is Florida, and it's like, you know, I'm from New York, so it's like us, we know what to do when it's time for the snow to come. And that's pretty much how it is. Everyone down here, they know when a hurricane comes. In all reality, the neighborhoods actually change. So the people that would never speak to each other, the communities really come together after the hurricane. Mm-hmm. Everyone does a little bit here, a little bit there. They all bring it together. Like the complex I'm in, lights go out. Everybody's outside on the grill together. Everybody's at the fire pit together. And in a way, these sort of things, it really does bring the neighborhood together. And it's crazy that it takes a disaster for it to happen, but it does. And people actually help each other. And then when everything goes back to normal, everyone goes back to, you know, ignoring each other.
Right. All right. Well, listen, I'm going to send you Allah's number. Make sure you reach out to your uncle because he's there. And y'all too, make sure y'all get into the communication after the show. And whatever you need, that's what your uncle is there for. Use it. But thank you. May Allah bless you and your family, and we'll talk a little later. For the Seventh Truth, Allah, you drive trucks, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. How has this impacted you?
Well, actually, brother, the only impact that I've gotten is the hearing of the news of what's going on, because your brother right now is up here in the purple state, French state of Minnesota. So things like that.
He hiding out up north. Listen to him. He hiding out up north.
Yes, I've been up here for a couple of years. But nevertheless, I did reach out and make phone calls. You know, you can sit around and wait for it to hit on your Facebook with people that don't have power. But sometimes you got to make sure, as our brothers and sisters are in those areas, you got to reach out and call to make sure you hear their voice and know that
they're all right, they're, you know, doing what is needed to be done, and that they're not suffering just catastrophic problems as far as going through those things. So I'm not in the zone, but if I have been, especially driving big trucks, brother, park, no load. I don't care what it is. It is not worth my life trying to get it delivered or picked up and something like that that goes on. So, yeah, it does rain some truth when he said there's big trucks blown around, knocked over. Man, that, you know, that ends your day right there. You know, hopefully it doesn't end your life. But
now,
I'm glad we did come back to you. I wanted to ask, the brother that's down there, when power goes out, and me and my wife are thinking on making sure that if any disaster strikes us, wherever we are on this planet, generators, what would be a suggestion as far as a generator?
Well, that all depends on your lifestyle. If you have a house, then yeah, sure, get a generator. But if you don't have a house, kind of not something that you're really going to have. And even with generators, people still go extinct, so you got to watch out.
Okay, so if you are a homeowner, then a generator is it's almost a necessary thing to have. But like you said, if you're living in a complex or an apartment building or something like that, a generator may not be a reality for you, because where would you keep it? And then when you did try and use it, how could you secure it, protect it, and how would that work? Because you can't fire up the generator inside your house. And if you took it outside to fire it up, now you just let the whole neighborhood know you got a generator. So how do you protect it? So, yeah, that brings on its own plethora of situations to deal with. Thank you. But, brother, tell the truth. This is the question I wanted to ask, since you're a truck driver. Situation
yes,
like
sir.
This is coming up. You know that it's coming because you're watching, you know, you're keeping abreast of the thing. What do you do now? You're in your rig. You have a shipment, a load, because you haven't made it to your destination now. What do you do?
Okay. In the case of me picking up the load, one, I'm a company driver. So if I do drive for a very, very decent company, but if they decide you got time to go pick this up, and I'm knowing that impending disaster such as that is on its way, you can find another driver because I'm shut down. Now, coming from Detroit, I know how to drive in the snow. Okay, that's what he manufactured winter. However, even up here in Minnesota, if I got to drop down to driving 25 miles an hour down the freeway to get where I'm going, that's my limit. If that, I'm going across the lanes and, you know, I can't see the lane and, you know, it's just too bad, shut it down. Now, I heard earlier the brother said that porches are being blown down the street. Trucks are being blown over. That's not 55 miles an hour, 45 miles an hour wind. When it gets above that, shut it down. Find you a safe location and stay there until you can move.
As a truck driver.
If I already picked the load up. And if I already picked the load up, I'm calling in, I'm shutting it down. That's it. This load will get there when it does, but I'm shut down. My life is way more important than any load out there.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
And so, all right. Thank you, brother. I wanted to get that out there. Thank you very much for that.
Brother Rudolph.
Yes, sir.
Brother Rudolph, this is Brother Allah. To add on to what Brother Seven was saying is when I drive through some of these hurricanes and some of these things like that, what we usually do is we pull off the road, we'll get some sandbags, and we'll weigh the truck down, we'll tie straps to them, garbage cans full of sand, and hold the truck down so that the truck doesn't rock over. There's places in certain towns that I've driven through where trucks are laying on their side, trucks are laying upside down, trailers are upside down on the ground. So that was there was some real wind at play, and I'm not saying regular empty trailers. I mean refrigerator trailers are laying on their side in some parts of Lee County that I've been in. But you want to weight down your truck so that the wind doesn't lift it up and push it over.
Yes, sir. All right. Thank you, brother. So any last closing words or statements, or you want to stay on the line because we got Brother Ghazi on the line, brother. We got Brother Ghazi on right now. Okay. So stay, if you can, Brother Allah, stay on. All right, Brother Ghazi.
Yes, sir. I'm on it.
Okay. Family, this is Brother Ghazi Muhammad, and he's one of the conveners, founders, brainstormer, giving birth to this reality now, not a dream, a reality. And this is me talking. This isn't Brother Ghazi saying this and his team. I'm saying that the Black Preppers Academy is open. The Black Preppers Academy is open, and it is in Villarica, Georgia. And today is day one, okay? And he's going to speak about what's going on today, but I know that I spoke to he and our brother Barry yesterday, and Brother Barry was there with him, and they were doing – putting some finishing touches on some setups and stuff that needed to be done. So, Brother Ghazi, come on and give us an update on what's going on in Villarica, Georgia right now.
Man, assalamu alaikum, big brother.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. How are you in the family?
Man, I appreciate it. Man, we good. I'm not going to be on too long, but man, I got my hands full. But I did want to call in because, man, we having an amazing time. Man, we've had all kind of workshops here today. And today, we knew Friday was going to be kind of light. Saturday and Sunday was really going to be heavy days. But today, we've had guys training on hunting, survival. Brother Patrick did horses and animal husbandry. Brother Raph is here with the solar generators. We had a guy teaching how to, a blacksmith teaching how to make weapons out of almost nothing. Hakeem from the movie, who was on Naked and Afraid, known as the Black MacGyver, he did an excellent keynote earlier that was very well attended. And we've been blessed to have people from California to New York and all in between that have come down here to Georgia area to be a part of this expo. We already have like hundreds of people already registered and tickets steady coming in. It's an amazing food truck, bouncy house for the children, sister teaching canon classes. That are very well attended, financial literacy classes. It's just an amazing experience, big brother.
Man, that's beautiful, Brother Ghazi. And again, for people who don't understand what he's talking about, a brother like myself, brother like Brother Yusuf, Brother Barry Crumbly, Brother H.R. Edwards, who we've been doing this disaster preparedness thing for the last 30 years almost. This is the first concerted, organized effort of a group of people to put on an academy, and I use that word specifically, an academy. This is not just a workshop. This is an academy where you can walk in and knowing nothing, and by the time you leave, you have graduated to a certain level of expertise in certain areas, and they have so many classes going on at one time, it's really hard to do more than one thing. So it forces you to focus on one or two areas and get all you can get there. So, Brother Gazi, so give the people the information on how they can find you, where they can reach you online, what they can still do to help you, because there's still two more days of the academy going on.
Yes, sir, and it's going to be, you know, we're looking forward to tomorrow. You know, it's going to be like a real big day for us. But the website is the Ready Expo, the letter XPO.com, and then the website to the farm, to our land is sunsetranch.farm. That's sunsetranch.farm. And you can reach me on my personal number at 602-544-6239. So we got a couple more days. I've been around asking some of the attendees how it's going, and they're just absolutely loving it. You know, most of the instructors that we have are black, and but we do have a few Caucasian instructors, and they're doing a damn good job too, just teaching, you know, things, you know, their expertise. So just a beautiful experience. All the attendees, they're loving it. Got some nice food here for everybody, you know, hog free, and it's just beautiful, man. And we were putting a lot of pictures online, and if you go to Gazi Speaks Muhammad on Facebook, we're putting a lot of pictures online. We're doing a lot of live, some of the classes. Next year, we're going to try to do it. No, we're going to set it up where we can record like almost all of it, so we can put it like in like a documentary form, you know. But it's so scattered right now, and, you know, and we have so many moving pieces, we can't really pull that off this year. But next year, God willing, our deal is to quadruple the attempt that we had this year and to document it, you know, more thoroughly as far as video is concerned. But I thank you, Brother Rudolph, for what you do, man. You know, Brother Barry here on deck, he's been a phenomenal help to us, man. You know, Big Brother Barry been an amazing help to us, so we appreciate you, brother.
Well, brother, like I told you, brother, this is the beginning of a marriage. And yes, next year it's going to be phenomenal, and we're going to get started planning next year's as soon as you close this one out this year. So
yes, sir.
We're looking forward to that. But all roads lead to give the name of the ranch again.
Listen, say it again.
Give the location where people, that last minute people can still come. And
yes,
and partake.
Right. Yeah. So the location, we like 30 miles west of Atlanta, Georgia, in Billerica, right outside Douglasville. So we're not too far from downtown Atlanta, the airport. I mean, 40 minutes from the airport area. And again, you can find more information as far as the ranch and location at www.sunsetranch.farm. FARM.
And Brother Gazi.
Yes, sir.
Brother Gazi, this is Brother Allah. My apologies,
doing,
black
Brother
man.
Allah?
My apologies, black man. But Brother Nature had different plans. I definitely wanted to be able to support and be at the event and check everything out. But, you know, the guard had a little more in plan. He said you got to be in Florida and meet these people.
Oh, yeah, yes, sir, yeah, yes, sir.
But
yeah,
I'm going
to
call you offline in a little bit.
Okay,
yeah,
okay, yes, sir.
We have to remember, man plans and Allah plans, and Allah is definitely
right.
The best of plans. And all things work together for good for those who love Allah. So Allah is the orchestrator of all things. And he is the permitter of all things. So his plan, you know, my wife and I, we always joke And we say, you know, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plan for your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so everyone's doing what they're supposed to be doing, and they're where they're supposed to be at. And so that's how it is. So, again, thank you, Brother Ghazi. We appreciate you, brother. And like I said, we're going to keep pumping this thing right up until the last day. We're going to keep pumping it. Feel free, if you need something, to reach out to us, all right, and let us know. But we got your back. Brother Yusuf, do you have any questions for Brother Ghazi or anything that you'd like to add?
No questions per se, but I'm just happy, Brother Ghazi, that it's unfolding the way it's unfolding. And you might not be as overwhelmed as you think you are right now in terms of you documenting this event these next 3 days. Because of technology, and young people would know it better than I, maybe there's a way, brother, that with people's cell phones, they can document it by either taking still pictures and forwarding it to your Facebook website or page. You know, they have this thing where they say hashtag, you know, you might say Ready Expo, and whether it's audio or video, people can send it there. And, you know, it's really no stress on you per se, but that people will see it from their vantage point and send it in to help you with the documentary. And even with micro recorders, you never know, some presenters might even have that on their person, and if you ask them to record their presentations and then forward it to you, that might be another way that you can encapsulize the whole event, and it's really, you know, no more stress on you per se. So I just offer that, brother, and just like Brother Allah, brother, and Brother Rudolph, I can't wait to come down there, brother, whether it's next year's annual event or before that. And may Allah continue to bless you and your family and all of those who help you to organize the event. Please give Brother Barry the greetings for us. Thank you, Brother Ghazi, for all you do, brother. May Allah continue to bless you, sir.
Thank you, Brother Yusuf. And now, I know brother has been holding on patiently. With everything that's going on, we have our brother William Muhammad on the line. And very appropriately, he's going to speak about a subject, again, that we don't generally talk about in our family and our community. We don't talk about it enough, but it's relevant. It's very relevant, and unfortunately, it rears its ugly head at the most inopportune times, and it becomes an embarrassment in one sense for some families and a hell of a burden at a time when families just really don't need that extra burden. And we're talking about insurance. We're talking about people passing away and not having basic last rights or burial insurance, and can't even get your loved one in the ground. And so at the same time that you're mourning the loss of a loved one, you also have to deal with asking for help just to get them in the ground. That's a hell of a burden to put on people. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to say it, and again, this is Brother Rudolph talking. Don't attribute this to disaster awareness for community preparedness staff or anything like that. This is Brother Rudolph Muhammad speaking. I think it's a selfish thing for people to not prepare for their death by making sure that there's some type of fee in place to help get them buried, to leave that burden on the people that they love, to to have them saddled with the burden of having to put you in the ground and put you away respectively. Once you got where you were living, you didn't think enough of them to prepare for that day by having the necessary insurance in place to make this happen. So again, that Brother Rudolph talking. You got issues with it? Get at me. Brother William, you on the line? Brother William?
Okay. Well, William's not on the line, brother. He's not on the line. He's not on the line.
You said he's not? Brother William, press number one. Okay,
Brother, he's not in the studio. I've tried to call him back several times. I don't know what happened, but his call dropped, and he's not on the line at all.
Okay.
He's not in the studio.
All right, thank you, Brother Forrest. Hey, again, disaster awareness for community preparedness. We deal with real-time situations. All right, we're not in the plushy offices of some high-rise corporate building. We out in the fields where things are happening. So we're going to keep it moving, and we'll keep trying to raise him. Wa alaikum salam.
Once again, you've hit on a topic. This is Brother Seven True.
Yes, sir.
Once again, you've hit on a direct topic. A few years ago, we had the task, me and my wife, her father, who she was a daddy's girl, as she said, he passed.
Yes, sir.
She was his power of attorney at the time. But before all of this, he had pancreatic cancer. And he was able to survive 10 years, longest surviving pancreatic cancer survivor up here in Minnesota. And he never wanted to even talk about dying. So, no, he did not have any of his affairs in order. He didn't even have a specific drawer where, you know, box, safe, anything. There's where my paperwork is. To, you know, go through and, you know, everything is right there. He didn't even have that. My wife took weeks looking through all types of paperwork that he had stored up for years looking for some type of insurance. He didn't have any. My wife had to take out 401k. I had to spend checks at that particular time. Also, my wife ended up having to take a month-long week leave of absence. I ended up having to take a three-week leave of absence off the road, and if anyone knows, when the wheels ain't moving, no money is being made.
Yes, sir.
So we had to really, and we had to start the GoFundMe, which really didn't get no traction, and it took the whole will of Allah to help us out to be able not only to give him a memorial here in Minnesota, but also to be able to get him back home to Mississippi to where he could be laid to rest. And that whole burden mainly fell on my wife at that time. So she was not even able to grieve.
Yes, sir.
I learned how to utilize my skill in technology to be able to come up with a tribute video. I was able to firsthand use my artistic skills to come up with a obituary. Everything fell in her lap, and that was a tremendous effort for us. I mean, I'd never experienced nothing like that.
Where you going? Wow. Where you going?
Right here? Yes, sir, brother. And unfortunately, brother, that story plays out over and over again.
Let me get my meal to go.
In our family.
Mm-hmm.
man, this is why it's so important that even with our elders, if they won't talk about it, we know it needs to be done. There are ways that we can get a policy on them to have it in place, even if we have to pay for it, so that when that eventual day comes, and it's coming, it's not if, it's when. So when that day arrives, part of the burden, it will be lifted off the
side. Let me mute my phone.
And it may be an easier transition for the family of grieving, because at least that they can get mommy or daddy or grandma or grandpa, auntie, son, daughter, whoever, brother, sister, in the ground in a respectable fashion. So, Brother William sent me a text. What happened is a client walked in his office, and he had to get off the phone. He's dealing with the client, and as soon as he finishes, he's going to call back in so that we can get this information about insurance. All right, Brother Yusuf?
Yes, sir, Brother Rudolph, and thank you, Brother Seven Truth of Law, for, you know, sharing what you had to go through. And it's critically important, again, that we prepare ourselves for our family members as best we can, at least start the conversation. Because like Brother said, his father didn't even want to talk about it, and a lot of people are the same way. As Brother Rudolph had mentioned, this is not unusual. This is more, how they say, not exception to the rule, but unfortunately the rule that many of our people don't want to talk about, whether it's health insurance, whether it's life insurance, or whether, you know, you live in a particular topography or geography where, you know, for instance, in the state of Florida, that hurricanes come on a regular basis. You know, if you're in California, wildfires on a regular basis. You know that if you're in Middle America, Oklahoma, if you will, tornado. On a regular. And then there's another kind of insurance that you might consider, property insurance, based on where you are. I know when Hurricane Sandy, the eye of the storm, hit Atlantic City, New Jersey, and the outskirts of the eye hit New York. And, you know, because of the damage, because of too many people not having flood insurance, or they didn't know the, how they say, the small print on their policy, that a matter of inches stopped them from getting the benefits, even if they had insurance. And you have to understand that when you talk about disaster, brothers and sisters, that post-disaster can last up to anywhere from 5 months to 5 years. For instance, you have these hurricanes hitting the Gulf more and more now. And I believe there's a tropical storm on its way to Central America right now as we speak. Nicaragua, Honduras, and Venezuela, who were also got hit with the remnants of the storms that hit Puerto Rico, hit Florida, back to back. Now, because of the topography in Venezuela, Caracas to be more specific, a lot of hills, a lot of mountains where people live on these hills and their mountains. And after the rain and the wind, here comes mudslides where people's whole houses fall into the valley. Now, I don't know what the situation is with them in terms of insurance, but here in America, there's some things to consider. So to prepare for flood, after fire, with flood insurance, again, you know, we can be critical of other agencies, be it FEMA, be it Red Cross, be it the Salvation Army, but there are times when we need what they have to offer. And so if you go to again, right now, FEMA has something. You can go to floodsmart.gov, flood, FLOODSMART, floodsmart.gov. And again, you can find that on ready.gov of how to prepare for post, during, and, excuse me, pre, during, and post after wildfires, floods, and mud flow. So you can get an update of the landscape as it relates to that. I know our brother also talked about generators earlier, his concern, and again, as was stated, whether or not, depending on where you live, a multi-dwelling, high-rise, multi-dwelling, low-rise, or you're owner of your own home, you want to consider whether or not you want a built-in generator or a portable generator, which would be better. You might want to consider whether or not you want a gas-operated generator versus a propane tank-operated generator. These are just some of the things. You want to know whether or not how much power you need to run whatever it is in your home. And, of course, the essentials, few lights, your refrigerator if you have a freezer. But, you know, as Brother Rudy said earlier, he had a flashlight, flashlights with LED lights and lithium batteries. You really want that, you know, because they use little energy and are powered, you know, by batteries that last for years. So different levels, different degrees of not only preparedness, different degrees of disaster, as we said earlier, and different degrees of insurance that you may want to look into, whether it's going to benefit you, health insurance, benefit you, life insurance, benefit you before a disaster, during a disaster, and after a disaster. So thank you, Brother Rudolph. Hopefully, Brother William will be able to come on, but he's out there, I believe, in California. And so we thank God that he has a client in his office right now.
That's right.
You know, that it's a win-win situation for them because he's a subject matter expert in what he does. And it's going to be a win-win situation for those who are sitting in front of him by God's grace. Let me see. There's something else in terms of a public service announcement I want to get to. On October 11th at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, there's going to be a focus on the discussion of the current operations, focus around what we've been talking about in terms of, I guess this world is calling it Hurricane Ian in the southeastern U.S. and Hurricane Fiona in Puerto Rico, and has actually been a typhoon, what they call Merbok, M-E-R-B-O-K, in Alaska. I don't know if you knew of that, if you got that in mainstream media, but on Tuesday, October 11th, FEMA's doing a webinar from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock to speak on that from their vantage point. Again, if you go to...
Oh, Brother Williams back. Brother William. Press the number one, brother. But Forrest, can you call Brother William back now? He just texted me. All right. Go ahead, Brother Houston. Keep going. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, in terms of...
Yep. No, go ahead.
Okay, so there was that webinar on October 11th at 1, and then there's another one on October 13th from 2 o'clock to 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where they talk about these topics, the role of Small Business Administration on the disaster recovery for places of worship and other community nonprofits. They'll talk about eligibility requirements, how to prepare, how houses of worship and private nonprofits may apply for public assistance funding. They'll talk about public assistance mitigation benefits, and they'll talk about public assistance, what they call Category B, and mass care services. Again, if you go to ready.gov and tune into the faith-based Department of Homeland Security, faith-based and neighborhood partnerships, you can go to the previously mentioned webinar. That's on October 13th from 2 o'clock to 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then the other one on October 11th, focusing on the disasters of Hurricane Ian in the southeastern U.S., Hurricane Fiona on or in Puerto Rico, and the typhoon that hit Murbach in Alaska. So just wanted to share that. Thank you, Brother Rudolph, for giving me this opportunity.
No, thank you, beloved. Yes, sir. Thank you. And just to put this out there, brother, forecasting, we may not even wait till next year to get with Brother Ghazi to plan the next one. We may want to do something in a couple of months, and you're definitely, you need to be at the table for this one, because what I'm going to bring is how to start your own EMS system. What I want you to bring is from the fire service side, the importance of teaching fire prevention, but then also teaching people about fire extinguishers, how to use them, when to use them, and getting, you know, to get the black firefighters involved so that we can train people. Because people think it's easy to just put out a fire using a fire extinguisher. But if you've never pulled that pin out of one and pressed that trigger and heard that when it comes out, you know, it's scared the hell out of you. And so people need to know, they need to practice with this thing. So we need to get people trained in fire safety also, especially when we're talking about setting up our own little communities out there. Welcome to Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. To whom do we have the pleasure of speaking, and how may we be of service to you?
Well, this is Brother William Muhammad.
I'm sorry?
This is Brother William Muhammad. Brother William Muhammad.
All right, praise be to Allah. Finally, Brother William is on the line. Now, let me say this, Brother William. You're from Harlem, New York, correct?
Yes, sir. 127.
Okay, sir.
It's same name.
All right, sir. Sir, so I need you to let the Harlem out of you, and I need you to speak with a sense of purpose and get to this information. I know you've been on the West Coast for so long, and, you know, you're so relaxed and laid back. You know, I got
right.
That. We know that you cool, man, but we need you to put your East Coast hat back on, and we need you to be a moving man, okay?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We can definitely do that. We can definitely do that. Man, it's so good to hear everybody, from Brother Forrest, Brother Allah, who I've known for 25 years, Brother Rudy, Brother Youssef. Man, it's so good to hear you all. It's definitely a different set of circumstances out here in the West Coast when it comes to disaster preparedness. We don't have torrential rainstorms here normally. We don't have snowfall like that here. We have earthquakes and extreme heat, you know, so those things are... And wildfires. And right now, it's we have a, you know how you have winter in the East Coast? We have fire season here in the Bay Area. And it doesn't do 1 acre. It doesn't do 2 acres. It's hundreds and thousands of acres of land, farmland, and all kinds of things that get burned up. So that's what we're in the middle of right now.
And what people will understand with that is it's a plethora of things that come from that, because it's not just the fire, but now you're talking about air quality. So you're talking
Absolutely.
About medical health conditions now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes. And it goes spirals. It goes on and on. So tell us, brother, where insurance is concerned. So since we're talking about it, let's talk about that. Fire insurance.
Sure.
If you buy a house,
yes.
fire insurance automatically in your policy, or do you have to request it? Same with flood insurance.
All right. So let me clarify what a fire policy is.
Okay.
When you have a home, when you own a home, you are required to have a homeowner's insurance policy. All homeowner's insurance policies, 100% of them are fire policies. 100%. So if you have a mortgage, it is required that you have homeowner's insurance. It's a requirement. You cannot close that loan. Okay? So it is a good idea. It's not just a good idea. It's really a mandatory thing that you have it. So whether you're in the West Coast, the East Coast, down South, you know, in the Midwest, you have to have homeowner's insurance. So it's not necessarily something that you have to request, but you should, and you should look through that policy very, very carefully, because there's a lot of addendums, there's a lot of riders that you can add or that you don't necessarily need that will make that the premium or the cost of it on a monthly basis or an annual basis go up or down. So that's absolutely something you should have reviewed, and you should review it once every year to make sure that you're being covered the way that you need to. Life changes. Your life changes. Think about how many people, how many people's lives have changed in the last year, right?
Because of COVID.
So
yes, sir.
Because of COVID, right? Think about how much somebody was driving before COVID, and how much they're how much they were driving during the harshest parts of that pandemic. Most people were working from home, and you weren't driving as much, so your auto insurance should have went down some. But if you're at home, that means there's more liability around the house now, so that may have went up. So all of these things have some type of correlation with how much it costs or how much you can save.
Yes, sir.
Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, good.
Makes a lot of sense. How does a person, an average person, John Q. Public, average Joe, how do they understand the language that these insurance policies are written in? Because it's not English.
No, it's definitely not English. You know, my suggestion would be to go to an insurance agent or somebody who is a licensed insurance agent, and have a conversation with them and have them to and say the words, explain it to me like I was a first grader or a third grader.
Oh,
and they
what?
Should be able to
Talk
do
to
that.
Me like I'm 6
right.
years old.
Right. Speak to me like I'm 6 in the most simple language that you possibly can. And it's not necessarily the insurance agent that you have. I like to offer my clients that may have one or two different types of insurance with me. I would say, well, you know, take this to someone else, and I'm going to explain it to you this way. Now, I want you to go to someone else and compare it. Compare what I'm saying to what they're saying, right? And if it makes sense, then you'll see that, hey, this is somebody who's being honest and upfront. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't go to a broker, or that you should go to State Farm, or you should go to Farmers, or you should go to Geico, or you should. I'm not saying any of those things. You need to go to someone that you trust is not going to lie to you.
Got it. Okay.
Okay.
Understood. So now let's talk about flood insurance. Because to my understanding, being here in Detroit, I've learned recently, I'm a new homeowner, and, you know, I'm from New York. We rent, man. We rent. And that way when something happens, hey, it ain't my issue. You know, that's the landlord issue. Hell, I ain't paying rent this month until you get this fixed. Yeah, it's a totally different reality when you are the landlord, when you own the home. So I just realized that there are three different types of flood insurance that, you know, may govern you when you get flood insurance for your home. And you have to know which one that you have and which ones you don't have to ask for in order to be covered when there's a flood. So can you talk a little bit about
that? Absolutely. So really, that's kind of it's a misconception that there's three different kinds. There's really two different kinds, and the third one is a rider to a fire policy. It's not its own separate thing. It just adds on to the homeowner's insurance that you have, okay? The most prominent flood insurance is the NFIP, which is the National Flood Insurance Program. That's managed by FEMA. And you don't personally decide whether you have to have it or not. That's determined by where you live. Are you in a flood, a federally recognized flood zone? Everybody's not in a federally recognized flood zone, so that's not something that you would necessarily need. And so people who are near waterways, people who are in low laying land.
But if they put me back in, I'm gonna put
is that me coming? Okay.
Somebody needs to mute their line. All right, go ahead.
Okay. That's all right. So, but that's managed by FEMA, right? And you can only get so much of that. It's designed specifically, really to make sure that it covers a dwelling for losses that are sustained by water damage, specifically due to flooding. Okay? Now, floods, we know they're caused by heavy or prolonged rain, melting snow, coastal storm surges, blocked storm drainage systems, levee failures. You know, those are things that cause floods, right? And this is to protect the dwelling, not your content, but the physical structure of the home.
Okay.
It protects the structural integrity of the house. Okay?
Okay.
Now, that's one thing. Now, if you feel that you need to have some kind of flood insurance and you're not in a federally recognized flood zone, maybe it was not and it is now. Maybe at one time it wasn't a part of a flood zone, but because of time and because of shifts in water, the rising and lowering of coastal lines and river lines, right, or lakes, you may end up in a flood zone that's not necessarily federally recognized yet. Then you get your private flood insurance, and that's provided by a private carrier, and they're free to offer as much or as little as they want to. All companies don't have this. There's probably 40 insurance companies that will carry a private flood insurance, okay? It works the same exact way. It's there to protect the structural integrity of the property, but not your personal items. Those things are covered by your fire policy, okay? Now, the last one, which some people are told that it's its own separate policy, but really it's a rider to a fire policy, which is called backup of sewer or drain. Now, when your sump pump does not work and your basement floods, or your toilet overflows, or somebody left the bathroom tub on too long, or there's a problem in the sewer line underneath your house. As a new homeowner, Brother Rudolph, you know, when you're driving down the street and you see the I don't know what the energy, what the water company is there, or the sewer company here is there, but in the Bay Area we have this thing called East Bay Mud, and they'll have a backhoe out there, and they have part of the street cut out in front of a person's residence. Have you seen that before?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That is not on that utility company. That is on the homeowner. So what happens is when you have trees or you have some kind of plants that are near your home,
right,
those roots
the tree. Yeah.
The roots are moving, right? They're growing and they're expanding.
Right.
And they don't stop because there's an old piece of concrete there. It can uproot even some of those old iron pipes. It can uproot even those concrete pipes, right? And it will cause your yard to start flooding with sewage. This particular type of rider to that policy, the backup of sewer or drain, that is what that is for. The damage that is caused by that. And that will be anywhere between 5% and 15% of what your dwelling coverage is on a homeowner's insurance. Okay.
All right, so that you have to specifically ask for.
You have to specifically ask for it. And if they don't, because every place does not have it, right? You need to find a place that does have it.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Now, another thing that I want to explain, even if you are not a homeowner, let's say you're renting a home, okay, or you're renting an apartment, and you have these issues, when things back up in your apartment, well, it may cause some damage to your personal items. That backup of sewer and drain rider will help replace some of those things that were damaged by the negligence of whoever is renting there, right? So you want to have that in place. Most renter's insurance is anywhere between $10 and $25 a month, so it's fairly reasonable, but it will give you anywhere between $25,000 and $50,000 worth of coverage should something go wrong. And it will also give a person, most of them will, let's say, God forbid, there's a fire or there's some catastrophic thing happens and you're displaced. Well, most renter's insurance will give you a certain amount of money to find a place to live for up to 2 years while your place is being repaired.
Wow.
Right? Thank right. You. So that little $10 to $25 a month, it goes a long, long way, right? It goes a long way. What we want to do is mitigate losses, right? You know, we talk about disaster preparedness. Well, if your home catches on fire and you don't have a place to live, that's a disaster.
That's a disaster.
Right? So we got to find a way to mitigate those losses. So this is a way. I'm not saying it's the only way, but it is a way that you can mitigate the issues that come from it. Another thing that I want to address, you know, fairly quickly, and I hope I'm not boring anybody or everybody can understand. Okay, good. So another thing, your fire policy works in tandem. It works in tandem with other policies. They all work together, right? So let's say you're out shopping, right, for a grandbaby, okay? And you buy all of this stuff, and somebody breaks into your car, tear the steering column up, take your car somewhere. They find it 2 days later, and everything is gone out of it. Your car insurance covers the damage done to the vehicle. Your renter's insurance or your fire insurance covers the things that were stolen out of the vehicle. fire policies cover your personal items anywhere in the world. So it could be a storage. You could be overseas. You know, you could be in Mexico. You could be in France. You can be in Portugal. You can be in the Dominican Republic. And somebody steals your Rolex. They steal your laptop. They steal your renter's insurance covers those things. Your homeowner's insurance covers those things. If that makes sense.
Yes, sir.
If you have things in a storage, it covers those things that were in the storage because they're your personal items anywhere in the world.
Okay. All right. Okay. So that just means that you as the that you just need to have good records and just document what you have
absolutely.
And just have good documentation. Even take pictures of the stuff that you have. Write down serial numbers. Keep it in a log, and make numerous copies of it, so that if you gonna have at least three copies of documentation, you won't have any documentation.
Certainly.
So yeah. Thank
Absolutely.
You, Brother William. Man.
One.
Okay. Well,
one.
Now let's move on to this. Final, let's talk about burial insurance or final expense insurance.
Sure. Final expense policies or burial policies, you know, really it's a fancy name to say it's a small whole life policy, okay? They range anywhere between 10. It depends on your state that you live in. California, it's a $10,000 policy, which is not going to get you very much. It'll get you in a hole in the ground, right?
Right.
There is legislation that was just passed in the state of California where they're going to allow a second policy to be added to that, which will give you a total of $25,000 so that you're going to be able to be buried with some type of dignity. Now, this is a whole life policy, right? And in most places, you can only have one of these in most states. In New York, they don't really truly have life insurance. They have what is called a life annuity, which grows at a slightly faster rate than what a traditional whole life policy would do. But other places they have, it's really just a small whole life policy, which means that it does grow in value, in cash value, and it also grows in death benefit, right? So this is a good policy specifically for those who are over the age of 50.
Okay.
You don't have to have a physical exam. You don't have to have your analysis. You don't have to have blood work. You know, it's usually issued the same exact day unless there are major health issues. But if your health report comes back where there are some major issues, you may be declined for this, and we'll have to go about insuring you a different way, which is possible. Okay. But we're going to, you know, an insurance company, an underwriter is going to say, hey, I see some things here that are going to cause us, you know, cause you not to be eligible for insurance, you know, a major disease, you know, you already have had maybe like a cancer and there's policies that are built specifically for that. But if your blood pressure is a little bit on the high side, you know, you're not quite eating right, you know, or you really just don't want to have blood work, you don't want to have urine work done, this is a good way to get something in place. Now, is it the best thing? No, absolutely not, right? But it might be the best thing for you. Whoever the insurance agent is that's working with you should build a policy around you specifically and your specific budget and your specific needs.
So there are no cookie-cutter policies. You need to sit down one-on-one and go through the nuts and bolts of your life and have a policy tailored to you.
Absolutely. Okay. I'm happy to, you know, and most of the time it'll be a free consultation. And it's okay for you to get two or three different ideas, but there are so many different life insurance policies. They all work a little bit differently, but the bottom line is you don't want to put a burden on those around you should, God forbid, something happen to you unexpectedly.
Right.
I was telling someone the other day that GoFundMe is not insurance. It's not life insurance.
You know,
right?
That reminds me of what Brother Gazi has on their website, where it says winging it is not a plan. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So we don't want to wing it. We don't want to leave, you know, a burden. You know, I have, and you can have more than one insurance policy. You can have more than one life insurance policy. I personally have more than one. I have more than one for my son. Some are there to leave a legacy, and some are truly a financial investment for me.
Okay. We're going to put a pin in it right there. Give your information so people can reach you if they need to reach you. And
absolutely,
we need to reschedule because we're over the mark now. We need to reschedule so that you can come back and talk about some specific policies for specific groups of people.
Absolutely. So thank you so much again for your time and attention. My name is William Muhammad, spelled M-U-H-A-M-M-A-D. I can be reached at 510-776-0722. Again, that phone number is 510-776. Wait a minute. I forgot my phone number, Brother Rudolph. So it's 0722. Man, it's Friday, my brother.
That's because you won't call yourself, brother.
Right. 510-776-0722. I can be reached by email at kyfoi1@gmail.com.
Say that again. Give the email again.
Which is kyfoi1@gmail.com.
Thank you, Brother William. Listen, I'm going to call you as soon as the show goes off. I'm going to reach out to you so we can talk about something.
Gotcha.
But we need to get you
back
on. Check your schedule, and we'll talk offline and get you back on so we can go further into this. And this is what I want to do. Brother, I want you to set some time aside, and we'll figure out what it is once a month that you can
absolutely
come on and we can have this talk about insurances across the
absolutely
board with the family once a month.
I'm happy to do it.
All right?
I'm happy to do it, and you got it. You absolutely got it. Thank you so much for your time and the opportunity to share what I have learned over the last few years with your beautiful audience. I love everybody on this phone. Everybody that got to speak today, I love you all dearly and cannot wait to see you all. And happy Savior's Day.
Yes, sir.
Without
happy
that
Savior's
man,
Day
none of us would
well
even know each other. Yes, sir.
Right.
Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, Brother William. Love you, brother.
You're welcome.
Talk to you soon.
Love
Inshallah
you back. Yes, sir.
All right, well, wa alaikum salam. We're over the time. We want to thank our engineers for buying us as much time as they could, but you know, it's time to go. It's that's it for this week. As Porky Pig used to say on Looney Tunes, that's all, folks. So thank you. We appreciate you all for giving us your time. And next week, same time, same place. May Allah bless you with a safe week. Assalamu alaikum.
I can so alone. If I cannot help somebody, in a word or a soul, I cannot help somebody from doom and roll. Lord, my living shall not be in vain. My living shall